understand why. You know what? It's best sometimes we don't understand why. I racked my brain the whole week, trying not the whole week because I come up with the message about Thursday night or Thursday evening sometime, of what to preach tonight. And guess what? Guess what? I have done that before. Not come up with nothing. I did that at Hackaburn one time. I said I studied and preached. I got sermons. I got a bunch of sermons I could, you know, look up. And I said didn't feel like the Lord give me anything. And I said, anybody here got anything to say? You know, the church opened it up to the church. Anybody got a message from the Lord? And they didn't nobody say a word. I mean, their teeth about dropped. And I said, well, I hadn't got anything to say. I said, let's put it, did you pray? Ain't nobody say nothing. Did you pray for the message? Of course, I know you do. But anyhow, when I got through, there was this elderly lady, whenever we left the church, she said, preacher, that's the best sermon you ever preached in your life. I didn't know how to take that. So we had a time of testimony, we had a prayer, and then we left. But sometimes this sermon preparing is it ain't what it's cut out to be. I mean, if you study the Word of God, then got here this morning and sat down and hearing Brother Ibe's got the same about old Jockey Bed. How many of you knew Jockey Bed before this morning? She was the mama of Moses. I didn't say the mother. I said the mama of Moses. There's a difference between a mama and a mother. Did you know that? And as I thought about this, I said, well, you know, the Lord give it to me, so I don't believe he makes mistakes. So we're going to look at Jochebed again tonight. Is that all right? The mama of Moses. The scripture tells us that she was a daughter of Levi and she married Amram. She bore three children. Her name, as Brother Ibe brought out this morning, the glory of Jehovah. His name means inexperienced, Amram. She bore first Aaron, and his name means mountain of strength. He was appointed as priest in Exodus 28:1, and also appointed as a spokesman for Moses when he gave all those excuses of why he could not stand before the people and speak the things of God. And then there was Miriam. Her name, of course, we know comes from the term Meribah, same word that means bitterness or even rebellious. And we see in the according to Scripture in Exodus 15:20, she was a prophetess and probably about 7 years older than Moses. And then we saw Moses, and that's where we focus our attention. Moses, the term means drawn forth or drawn out. It came along at a very dangerous time in the life of Hebrews as they were slaves in Egypt. Jochebed reminds us of some things, all mothers of some things, some certain facts. First of all, childbirth is never easy, especially when a pagan king orders your child to be killed and drowned in the crocodile-infested waters of the Nile River. At a certain place, according to Jewish historians, they carried those babies and they threw them into the crocodiles. And the thing about it was, there was no escaping that. If you tried to hide your child, according to tradition, if you tried to hide your child, keep him hid, they would take the whole family and throw the whole family in to feed the crocodiles. So he was born at a peculiar, very peculiar time. The second thing that she teaches us is, protecting your child from the world and its evil influence is a constant job, and mamas are very crucial and critical in doing that. Sometimes mothers intervene and stand in the way of the danger of their children by the advice and by the things that they do. The third thing is, Releasing your child to God's care is always heart-wrenching. Always heart-wrenching. She's listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11:23, as Brother Ivy brought out this morning. Why? Well, we're going to look at four things, the reason she was in the Hall of Faith. As we look at this passage of Scripture, this verse of Scripture, Numbers 26, not 27. I bet you've been looking for that verse, haven't you? It's 26. I don't know, the computer, me made the error on that. Probably both of us. Numbers 26, verse 59 says, "And the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt, and she bare unto Amram Aaron and Moses and Miriam, their sister." And then I got Hebrews 11:23, and we'll look at that later. But let's join our hearts together in prayer for a moment. Father, we come to you to thank you and to praise you for today, for the opportunity of worship. And Lord, when we come with that expectation, we know that you will meet with us. We have the promise from your word. And we know the character of who you are, that as we come for that purpose, God, that you will show yourself and you will show up and help us, oh God, to look to you and to depend upon you. Lord, many times in life we don't understand how you work and the way that you work, but God, we know that in and through the experiences of life, when we put our faith and our trust in you, that you always come through and you make known to us that which is best for us. Father, as we come tonight, we come with grateful hearts for this opportunity. Lord, as we studied in the lesson this morning, Sunday school lesson, how grateful and how thankful we ought to be as a people for the past, for the present, for the future of what you're going to do. And Father, tonight as we come, we pray that you would honor your word and you would just have your will accomplished in this place. We commit ourselves to you and ask you, God, to take us and to open our ears of our understanding and our hearts that you may speak to us and we may grasp that which you have for us. Lord, I pray once again that you will take these feeble lips of clay and you'll speak through them the truth of your word, that we each and every one may be drawn to you, to the magnetism of Jesus and who he is and what he can do in hearts and lives if they will only surrender and submit to him. And Father, as we come, we ask that you would just work and do that which only you can. We pray, Lord, for those that are less fortunate. In the prayer rooms tonight, they were those that were mentioned. God, we pray that you would work in the circumstances of their life. And Lord, intervene where it is necessary and do that which only you can. We know that you're a God that changes things. We know that you're a God with just the infinite thought of your mind can bring about a new perspective in life and on life. And God, I pray tonight that you would work and do that which only you can. Would you tonight, O Lord God, have your will accomplished in this meeting as we come to worship you in spirit and in truth? For we ask it in Jesus' strong and powerful and saving name and for his glory alone. Amen. Amen. As we look at the passage before us in our outline on top, first of all, as we think about Jochebed and the time frame of which the scripture took place, we see that the first thing I have is she conceived him. And you say, well, yes, she did. But the thing about it was, we need to take in consideration, as I said a while ago, the tragedy and the things that were going on, the very cost of being in slavery like they were at this point in time. And why would people bring a child into the world? If it was going to be a boy, it's going to be killed. And if it was a girl, then she would be a slave and probably used as a prostitute somewhere along the left if she was not sheltered. But the thing about it is this, is when we understand that the time and the situation, the period between the turmoil and the tragedy, yet knowing that the edict was passed to Pharaoh and that edict was death, there was no ifs, ands, nor buts about that. So here we wonder why would they seek to have a child, but they did. And at the very thought of being born into slavery is something that we cannot even comprehend. But yet at least they still wanted a child, and because of this, we see God honored that. And the thing about this is, even after his birth, how would she know that he would be the one to bring redemption or to redeem the children of Israel from under the curse of Pharaoh? You know, I thought about this as I studied that term I'd be brought out this morning. The term proper said he was a proper child, and all the ramifications of that, we still don't know all of it, because in the process of her seeing that child, she thought he was a proper child. And the terminology there, as he brought out this morning, and we need to realize that's favored or one that's bringing pleasure, pleasing. But you know, Adolf Hitler's mother probably thought he was a proper child. Don't you imagine? I might know Osama bin Laden, his mother thought he was too. But the thing about it was, there's the process of seeing what you got and then developing what God would have you to. And there's a vast difference. That's one thing that makes motherhood so important in the world today. We have a bunch of mothers, but not many mamas. I mean, they bring a child into the world, and they seemingly do not really care to follow through in the instructions of caring and raising that child in the way he should be raised. Our president, four years ago, stood up in a church in Baltimore, and he says, a father's responsibility of a child is at conception. And then just a few weeks later, he's one who's tried to say that a child is not a child until he becomes a child and he's born. So we see there's a two-sided view of this. But we need to realize and understand that even in this time, as Jochebed carried this child and knowing the ramifications and all the things that could happen, yet they saw the need. Boy, does this speak of how God honors faith. When you think about that, how God honors the faith that they had, that she would even allow or conceive and to bring forth a child. But there's not only that, she also concealed him. The Bible tells us that Jochebed and Amram hid the baby for 3 months in Exodus 2:12. And she shielded him from the dangers of this cold, cruel world for that period. But the thing about it is, the story does not end there. It does not end there. Don't you think that the Bible story, and I thought about this, of Moses, because of her building that little old mini ark to put Moses in, the one who would bring about salvation later on. She probably didn't know that, but I still wonder about that term, proper child. But the thing about it is, don't you think that her mind went back to the time when Noah built the ark and he saved the whole his family and saved the animal kingdom to bring about a new world and a new redone creation, I guess you'd call it, or restoration. But anyhow, the thing about it is I think maybe her mind went back to that. And she says, you know, if God did it one time, God has the power and the authority to do it one more time. And I believe that's why she said one day whenever old Amram come in, she had that honey-do list, and that honey-do list on it says, get some reed, get some wood, get some slime, get some pitch. And they built that little basket, that little ark, mini ark, if you please, and they put Moses into it. They concealed him as long as they could. Probably the word had got out. They know telling what's all the circumstances of that. We'll know one day when we get to heaven, though. But the thing about it was, can't you just imagine her giving him that honey-do list, and he's pondering, saying, what in the world do you think you're going to do? But here, she had probably been praying and praying, because, see, those of the tribe of Levi, they were known as those who were prayer and believed in prayer, and she was of that tribe. We'll get into that later on. But the thing about it is, we see that they built that ark, is according to Exodus 2:3. And so here's that mini ark, and she places that child in, and this is where the third point comes along. She committed him. Listen to me, she committed him. That's exactly what she did, as she placed him in that basket and then put him adrift in the water. She committed him, according to Exodus 2:13. Thus, is it any wonder that that little basket floated into the royal precinct of where this princess went down to bathe? I see God's hand at work even in that, and in the process of this, bringing him to her and her to him. See, God always works on both ends. Listen to me very closely. When you think about her committing, Jochebed committing Moses to that basket and to the water, see, she had to give him up in order to save him. Listen to me, parents. You sometimes have to commit your child, give them up, take your hands off, and let God work to bring about what he wants in their life. Because, see, if she had never done that, Moses would not have the story we have today. But she was willing to commit him, as I be brought this morning. She didn't just sit around and say, I know the Lord's going to take care of him. But she done something because she felt in her heart that if she did this, that God was going to honor her faith, and God always honors faith. Always. And we see in the process of this that as the story goes, she committed him before he could be saved. Little Moses, then after he made a drift into that royal water, we'll call it royal water, the princess bathed. But as he made his, and as God guided that little basket to where she was going to come, and I still believe that's what happened. And then as the princess came down and she saw it, and then as she opened that basket, and don't you imagine that little whimper, that little cry, says he cried. Don't you imagine that just stole the heart of her, because she recognized and understood that this was one of those Israelite children and he was destined to death. But here her heart went out. Can't you see how God works on both ends of situations? I mean, if you'll get your heart right on the front end, if you got something wrong in your life, if you'll get your heart right on the front end, I guarantee you, God will work on the other end to bring the two together. He always has. He always will. To people, listen to me, to people who express faith in him. And I believe she was a woman of faith. I believe she was a great woman. It's very interesting, the words in Exodus 2:4. Turn there with me just a moment. Exodus 2:4. Says this, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. What does wit mean? Huh? Anybody got a different translation? What does it say? To know, to perceive, to understand. It's a very important word, because here, see, Jochebed put Miriam in charge of overseeing the little ark, to watching Moses, kind of secluded as she watched. But she stood afar off, it says, to determine, to see out, to know what was going on. And then the whole time and the whole process of this, we see God's hand miraculously guiding that little basket to where this princess came. And then we see the two got together. And according to Scripture, we see that she took him out, and then, of course, Miriam was right there, the Scripture tells us. But for this all to happen, we see that Jochebed had to commit him to that water, had to commit him, give him over, take her hands off, and let God work the situation out. I have counseled with parents, and I've counseled with people whenever they are trying to find the answers to situations and problems in their life, especially with children, that they want to do everything they can to hold on to them and not give them the freedom to let God work. I just talked to a couple this past week. If you want God to work, you got to take your hands off. Because if God's going to work, he wants to do it in his time and his timetable. And when he does that, it will bring glory to him and not to you. Listen to me. This is where it's crucial sometimes. Sometimes as parents, what is that Dr. James Dobbs' book? It's The Tough Love. Sometimes tough love says, take your hands off. Let them run their course. We studied last Sunday about the prodigal son. The prodigal son. There's more than one prodigal. There's not only one that left the house, there's one that stayed at home too. But the thing about it is, the one that left, the father says, okay, if that's what you want, you go right ahead. We don't see where the father ever tried to go to him, try to pull him out of the hog pen, try to send him money, give him money, tell him to come home. We see the father let him run the course of his disobedience. And let me tell you something. There are children today that their parents will not let them run the course of disobedience because they stand between them and what God is trying to work. But when, listen to me, when and if they will take their hands off, and maybe they got to get down there in the hog pen. They got to get down into the hog pen. They got to slop the hogs. The scripture, and it's in the historians told us, I brought out in our class, that tell us that this prodigal son, he was the dispenser of the food for the hogs. He was not the one who oversaw it. He was the dispenser to carry it and give it to the hogs. The Bible says he fain would eat the husk that the hogs did eat, but no man gave him. In other words, he couldn't have a part of that. But he got to his lowest point, his lowest ebb, and then what happened? What happened? The Bible says he came to himself. He came to himself and he realized that back home, the hired service, not the household service, but the hired service has plenty to eat, and here I perish with hunger. See, sometimes we have to let sin run its course in people's lives whenever they're rebellious against the things of God. And that's what happened in his life. But he came to himself and he came back home, had that speech made out. You know the story. But whenever the father saw him, he ran and he met him. And he would not let him even finish his speech. And he says, bring forth the best robe. Bring forth the ring. Put it on his finger. Signet ring. Power of eternity. And kill old Heather, the fatted calf. So we see in this God's love, and that's what God wants to do many times. There, that interesting word there, she stood off and she watched. She observed to know what was happening. See, no sooner than when he was drawn out, that's where to get its name from, 2:7, Exodus 2:7. Miriam said that she would find a wet nurse for him, and she knew who could do it. And the thing about it was, she went and got it, got her mother. And her mother was brought to the princess, I guess, and the child was given to his own mother. And not only that, the Bible says that she hired his own mother to nurse him and to take care of him. So we see there's added benefits. There's added benefits of being obedient to God. God always, as I say this again, I'll say it again, God always blesses faith. Always has, always will. Here we see God reconnects baby Moses with his mother, and she gets paid for nursing him. You can't tell me God does not honor faith. She is a living example of it. Living our example of it in our scripture. But there's the fourth thing, I believe, and this is Marshall Dixon believed, and that she cultured him. When I say cultured him, she taught him. We do not know how long she had Moses under her roof to nurse him and to take care of him. But we know this one thing, whether, like I say, there are some commentaries said 3 years, some said even 5 years that she kept him. I don't know how long it was. But that's beside the point. We know this right here, that whenever she had him, she taught him of the things of God. I believe that with every fire. She taught him of the situation they were in. She taught him. See, she didn't teach him about the things of culture of the Egyptians, because that's like us trying to teach our child the things of the world. You know what? The world will do that. They'll teach them the things of the world. You don't have to teach them them things. But you got to teach them the things of God where they can stand up against those evil things. And when we understand the whole scope of this, we see that she was one who, before he ever went to the palace, she had told him and taught him in the truth of who he was and also their plight. And I believe she instilled within him. You know, the Catholic Church says, give me a child until he's 5 years old and he'll be a Catholic the rest of his life. But you know what? When she took him unto her and she taught him and she nursed him, I believe with every lullaby she was singing the praises of God. She was singing about Jehovah God. She was teaching him. She was telling him about the things of God, because see, she knew that her time was limited. Let me tell you something, mothers. You think you got your child up to 18 years old, you may have in the home, but you need to do everything you possibly can while they're young to teach them the things of God. We say, well, I'll bring them to church. That's the church's responsibility. No, 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 no. It is not the church's responsibility. They only come to church, what, 1, 2, maybe 3 hours a week? How many does that leave you, 165 hours? Where's the denominator there in that? See, the thing about it is the Shema in the Old Testament tells it we should teach them and tell them, bind it on their necks and their back, write it upon the doorpost, the things in the Word of God. Because, see, the Word of God is what changes individuals' hearts and lives and bring them in accessible with God and what God wants in their life. I've just heard this past week very, very disturbing news that when our children go off to college, that we lose 90% of them who are in churches because of our infidel professors and teachers in college that will try to turn them away from the things of God. And if they are not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, yes, they can do it. You know that scripture we used this morning, train up a child in the way he should go. I'll be brought up some several possibilities. But the term train there also comes with another meaning there. The term train means to instruct. It means to pour yourself into them. Because if you teach a child, someone else can come along and teach him something entirely different. They might rather have their teaching than had yours. But the term train comes from a word where the midwives, it comes from a term there where those midwives, whenever they would be there at the birthing of that child, and they would bring that child forth, the first thing they would do, they would put some dates and honey mixed together, and they would take their fingers and they would slap it on the back of their tongue, and it would cause them to gag and start the sucking sensation where they can nurture the rest of their life. My friend, that's what we need to do with the Word of God, is it not? Create an appetite for them of the Word of God so that they can know the truth of what God has in store for them. See, before he ever made it to the palace, before he ever made it, she taught him of the plight they were in. I'm just dumb enough to believe she instilled in him the report that's given in Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. And brother, I be read it this morning, but I want to read it to you again just so that we can understand what the scripture says in Hebrews 11. If you want to turn back there with me, 11, chapter 24 through 26 says, by faith, there's the term, that's the whole scope of this chapter, those who lived, worked, honored faith. By faith, Moses, when he would come to years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Folks, you can say what you want to. Sin has pleasure, but it's a damning, dooming pleasure in the end. Did you know that? It will hold you. It's just like a vine that wraps you up and it smothers the life out of you. But it's fun for a while. He says, choosing. And then the 26 says, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches. Did you catch that? Than the treasures in Egypt. You talk about someone who was in a position to receive the treasures of Egypt. Here he was as a favored, I don't know what you'd call him, godchild, grandson, whatever it was, to Pharaoh. He had all the things of Egypt right at his feet. But that's not what the book of Hebrews says here, if we look very close. Esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I believe that Moses, through the instruction of his mama, he heard that voice, that still, quiet, still, small voice as it spoke to him. He saw the invisible. I believe this is a reflection of the training in his life, that he understood the ramifications of Jesus Christ and their role in history, God's history, if you please. And I believe this is one of those things, as we look at this, she made it possible for him. made him aware of it, if you please. And of course, I said she was from the tribe of Levi. We know the Kohathites were those who sang. We know the Levites are known for those who pray. His father was a Levite. His mother was a Levite. And that tells me that they taught him the practicality and also the importance of prayer. I believe they understood that. Let me tell you something. A praying mother and a praying father, there's absolutely, positively no telling what God can do with those who put their faith and trust in God. See, we had the promise of God's word, and I believe Moses knew this because of Jochebed and Amram. He knew God's word. She knew that God's word would not return void, but it would accomplish, it would complete what was necessary in his life. And I believe she instilled that word in him. You know why I believe that? Because we know that Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. The thing we don't understand about all that is here's this little boy that's born out of a terrible, difficult time. I mean, the sentence of death, as Brother Ivy brought this morning, the sentence of death is upon him and was upon him. But God intervened in the circumstance. God made a way when there is no way. And God does that. And here we see, through this man, he stood before Pharaoh later to say, "Let my people go." And he was speaking for God. Speaking for God. God told him to do that. Let my people go. And of course, we know the ramifications of that. Those whole 10 plagues that come upon Egypt because of Pharaoh's and the rest of them's disobedience to God and his word. Because of them thinking that all the gods that they worshiped, them 10 things that them plagues represented some kind of form of God that they worshiped. And we understood because of this, God made known that he was the authority, the sole authority, as God Jehovah. And he still is today, my friend. Let me tell you that. See, Moses was blessed with a godly praying mother. So, she's really a role model for each and every one of us today. As a mother who is willing to commit her children to God and let God take their lives and use it. And that's what she did. That's what she did. Are we willing to do that? Hebrews 11:26 again says, "Esteeming the riches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Have you found the pearl of great price? Do you know him? If not, let me tell you, you can before you leave here tonight. You can come to know this Christ that Moses looked through the eons of age and time and he understood the role in the ministry of Jesus Christ and what he was going to perform as the Messiah. We look back at the cross and we see what Jesus did for us, where he willingly gave his life as a ransom for our sin. I don't understand all of that, but I thank God that he made possible for us salvation, aren't you? Amen? Tonight, do you know him? Not about him, but do you know him? Do you understand that he has a plan and a purpose for your life, just like he did with Amram and Jochebed and Moses? And you can go right on down through church history, right on into the present time of seeing how God works in the lives of people who will, listen to me, who will surrender to him their very being. God help us to do that. Because let me tell you something. Life that is not lived in accordance with God's purpose and plan is not life at all. It is not life at all. It is just existing. Just existing. Just getting by the best we can. God help us to commit ourselves unto him. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, tonight we are so indebted to you. We are so grateful to you for all the many things that you have made possible in our life. And Lord, I pray tonight that we will not forget about the example of Jochebed, but we will see the great woman she was because she had a great faith in a great God. And she understood what it meant to surrender and submit and commit.